Chapter 11. The first void soundings came in at chronomark -52.13 from expected warp re-entry. It took the master of the watch on the escort frigate, Melak Carter, 13 seconds to assess the auger profile and pass the signals up. Al-Ghukan, legionary commander of the much-depleted Brotherhood of the Pen and Spear, was on the bridge before the chrono ticked over to -48.00 and gave the order to run. All plasma engines were fired into overdrive, boosting the frigate past the top edge of its velocity envelope. Al-Ghu ordered it to push below the system's plane, giving the option to loop around the gravity field of the iron core giant Revo to gain momentum for an early return to the ether. Behind them, the enemy gained quickly. The Death Guard cruiser, Implacable, was already operating its far more powerful sub-warp drives at full pitch, and its six thrusters left dirty smudges of red afterglow as they thundered.
"Rear fusillade!"
ordered Al-Ghu, watching the onset calmly, knowing it would do little to halt the enemy's advance. Torpedoes shot away aft, streaking into the void in a scatter pattern of bright white. The Implacable responded with a four-shot mix of void flak and tracker torpedoes of its own, the bulk of the fusillade disappearing in a rippling wave of explosions. The remainder of the Melak Carter's volley was absorbed by its pursuer's four void shield array. Al-Ghu watched the enemy's response, using the experience he had gained in over a century of void war to gauge their intentions.
"Void seal armor,"
he voxed to his warriors stationed across the frigate's decks.
"Prepare for boarding."
The order was probably unnecessary. Most ship actions of this sort came down to a boarding maneuver in the end, and so his troops would already be preparing. If it caught them, the larger enemy vessel was probably capable of destroying them, but in a war that had extracted such a fearful toll on the fleets of both sides, and which had slowed new vessel production from the Forge Worlds to near zero, it was more usual for commanders to try to take over enemy craft for their own use. That made things interesting. Al-Ghu had 82 Battle Brothers aboard, plus several hundred mortal auxiliary troops. The frigate was still well-stocked with close-range weaponry and would reap a heavy toll on boarding tubes if they got in close. But it was still better to run. The Implacable likely contained twice that number of 14th Legion warriors, and there were few better exponents of close-confines firefights. Other legions might have a more developed tactical sense, but it took a lot to put down every single Death Guard warrior, and in a tight space with few options for flanking moves, that mattered.
"Coming within range of Revo's gravity well," reported Ida,
the master of the watch. All across the bridge, the crew were working hard to extract more power to feed the main drives, to calculate the slingshot angles, to find a balance between the 100 competing demands on core power.
"Can you outpace them?"
Al-Ghu asked, absently checking the energy readout on his chainsword. Ida took a few moments to reply, his face buried in a nest of angled auger lenses.
"Perhaps," he replied,
a dry smile on his weather-beaten face.
"If you risk the main reactor, it might be done."
On another occasion, Al-Ghu might have stayed to fight. Odds could be overcome, and they had been in the past. Revo's enormous space-distorting bulk could be used, as could the myriad tricks they had picked up since the proud tradition of Legion warfare had descended into the brutal post-Chondax era of scrappy civil war. Not this time. The Kargan's muster orders were still lodged in his armor's internal buffers, giving precise coordinates and timing windows.
Better to decline a battle in order to make the war.
"Do it,"
he ordered, deleting all mission-critical data from his armor's systems with a series of retinal movements.
"Purge all bridge cogitators of input data over the last standard week and reset encryption on the rest. Then run the reactors ragged. Get us out of here!"
The orders were conveyed, cascading down the ranks, enacted efficiently. The Enginarium crew keyed the main drives, the navigation stations plotted the main route, the pilots jinked and danced through the Implacable's long-range probing fire, and the colossal dirt-grey sphere of Revo entered visual range.
"Entering slingshot perimeter,"
intoned Eria, mistress of subwarp navigation, rocking in her station throne as the enemy gunners began to find their range.
Velocity increasing.
Keep us steady,
ordered Algu, watching the magnified ocular scopes carefully. As he spoke, something hit the rear void shields hard, catapulting the Melak Carter over to starboard. The frigate's structure shuddered, and the echoes of explosions could be heard filtering up from the decks below. Algu's stance flexed with the movement, warning runes spread like a rash across the bridge's comm stations. The hurtling run continued, and Revo loomed ahead of them, its circular outline now clear against the blackness beyond. It was then that the first uneasiness came.
"You have run a forward scan of the planet?"
he asked. Ida looked up.
"Why, it would be pointless. The core is too dense."
Algu turned to Eria.
"Then pull us out!"
Uncharacteristically, she hesitated.
"My Khan, if we—"
"Pull us out!"
Algu expanded the range of the tactical scope, even as his navigation crew struggled to alter the incoming angles.
"Get us away from it! Now!"
The Melak Carter swung down and around, straining hard against the sudden course correction. More hits came in from the pursuing cruiser, strafing the rear thruster banks and causing the plasma trails to spit and writhe. Ida swung around in his harness, confused.
"My Khan, we cannot pull clear on this course."
"We never could," said Algu grimly, "and they never wished to catch us."
As the last word left his mouth, the truth became apparent. A battleship emerging from Revo's distant horizon, a mere speck of light against the iron arc, but already close to the limits of its long-range weapons. Ident runes began to scroll down the Melak Carter's cogitator feeds, scanned and cross-referenced against sighting and fleet databases. It was Gloriana class, the Endurance, flagship of the 14th Legion's Primarch. Survival had just gone from being a matter of difficulty to one of near impossibility.
"Keep running,"
ordered Algu, watching the battleship sweep into full view. Thinking back to the times he had pulled a similar maneuver on his prey.
"Find some speed from somewhere. Ignore all limits. Just get me speed."
Ida complied instantly. The entire bridge complied, and soon voices were raised as every section frantically searched for some way to boost the already perilous levels of engine overburn. Algu watched them for a moment. Some had served with him for decades, and he knew they would find a way, if one could be found. It would at least fill their minds with something productive and stave off the paralysis of fear. As for him, fear was not even an option. He gripped the hilt of his chainsword tighter, feeling the weight and balance of it in his grasp. It felt good, in peak condition, recently refined by the tech marine Jiang, already humming with the thirst for combat. That was well. Unless a miracle occurred, it would be in use within the hour. Mortarion did not oversee the running down of the frigate. He waited in the depths of the Endurance for notice to reach him that the ship had been disabled and boarding squads sent in. During that time, he surrounded himself with the things he had taken from Terra Thallion and from Xerxes IX, and from the dozen other worlds he had laid low. After Prospero, where his last encounter with the Warhawk had taken place, his path through the void had become meandering, and the destruction wrought unfocused. There had been matters to resolve, and that had taken time. The fading embers of the Prosperine Empire had been the victim of that destructive period, and he had absorbed the last of its secrets in a bid to settle the doubts that the Khan had kindled in his mind. The residue of that quest remained in place. Heavy glass jars lined the walls of the broad chamber, glossy with syrupy preserving oils, each one containing the atrophied remnants of semi-formed things. Great leather tomes, their hide covers mouldering in the humid atmosphere, were stacked up like towers in the semi-dark. Three great weapons had been placed in stasis fields, their iron dark blades inscribed with Xenos scripts. Mortarion stalked amongst it all, running rheumy eyes across the esoterica of fallen civilizations. Such a collection would have been laughed at by the truly determined jackdaws of the Great Crusade, by a Lorgar or a Magnus, but the Death Lord had come late to study. He devoured learning now with the fervour of the long famished, reading feverishly for days at a time, suffering no interruptions. All the time, he remembered the words of the demon Lamenta, the one he had captured, taking her from the ruins of Terathalion and holding her here until the truth of her came out.
"By the gods, you learn fast," she had told him.
He had killed Lamenta's mortal shell, but that would not end her animating spirit. It lingered in the shadows, perhaps goading him, perhaps assisting, always there. And all the time, the span of his knowledge widened. The sum of spells at his command grew, gifting his already deadly legion another weapon. The stronger he became, the more clearly the intelligences on the other side pressed against the membranes of reality. He heard them speak to him in his rare sleep periods, gifting him visions of the past and the future, though intermingled within the truth were falsehoods so blatant that even he could see them. At other times, he would cast the books aside, rip their pages free, and burn the scripts contained within. He would smash the jars and storm from his sanctum, pledging never again to immerse himself in the filth of prescribed wisdom. In such times as those, the menials aboard the Endurance would look up from the bilge decks and gunnery halls with dread, waiting for the crash and roar of their master's rages. There had been lapses. Molech was the worst, in which he had given in so completely to the stuff of the ether that it had seemed there was no way back from it. And yet, just as on Barbarous, an old, deep stubbornness prevailed. The abomination Grulgor was contained again, sealed down in the darkest oubliette of the flagship, and bound tight with wards and hexagrams gleaned from desolated grimoires. His warp-spawn toxins had been replaced with the forbidden bioweaponry developed in the years before the Crusade, just as destructive, but at least confined to the physical. What he had told Horus was true. He had kept the Legion pure. His warriors fought with their blades, bolters, fists, and nothing more. There had not been a Librarius in the 14th Legion for a long time, and never would be again. But what of Typhon? That element at least had eluded his control. Kallas emerged ever more often in Mortarion's fevered dreams, marching at the head of Legion detachments he barely recognized. There would have to be a reckoning with Typhon before the assault on Terra. The Legion had become too distributed, too caught up in the sprawl of the burning galaxy. And so, the order to bring the Khan to heel had been well made. It would be a work of glory, something to set aside the deeds of Fulgrim and Lorgar. Mortarion would march to Terra with the mantle of Primarch Slayer, just as his Camosian brother would. Until then, the study continued, the immersion into the lore that both disgusted and fascinated him. If he noticed the degraded appearance of those about him, the gradual accumulation of grime and war patina, he never spoke of it. Sickness ran through the mortal crews of the line battleships, making the echoing holds ring to the cries of the afflicted, and nothing was done.
"I will comprehend,"
became the mantra, repeated into the deeps of the endless nights.
"This at least will not be denied me, not as the other things have."
When notification eventually came through that the 5th Legion frigate had been broken open and lay ready for his arrival, Mortarion cast around him, rooting through the vials and specimen crystals. Having found what he had been searching for, he trudged from the chamber, leaving it to the chattering whispers and the slow ticking dark. He passed through the winding inner ways of the Endurance, and all fell back before him. Legionaries bowed. The mortal crew fell to their knees, not daring to look up at his cadaverous face as he swept past them. He reached the Stormbird hangars, where his Death Shroud honor guard waited. Once in the void, on the approach, he could assess the prize through the real viewers. The enemy frigate was scorched, as if it had been plunged into a lake of fire. Clearly, the Endurance's gunners had enjoyed their work. The Stormbird entered the frigate's hangar, dipping hard to avoid a collapsed entry portal. It sat down on a shattered apron, coming to rest amid hissing heaps of molten metal. Mortarion emerged, passing through the still-burning interior like a shade of the afterworld, his entourage tramping behind. He crunched over the corpses of both White Scars and Death Guard legionaries, all slumped across one another in bloody piles. The sounds of ongoing conflict could still be heard from far off. The crack of bolter fire, the clang of sword edges, but that would soon be over. His troops would not have permitted him to enter a ship that had not been made safe, its engineering and bridge secured and all weapon systems disabled. The place smelt foul. Some barbarian world incense or other had been strewn across the once gleaming surfaces. The interior was too bright, emblazoned with lines of red and gold, and he found himself adjusting the filters on his helm lenses to compensate. For a long time, the interior of all his legion vessels had been miasmic. By the time Mortarion reached the bridge, the devastation was complete. The enemy had clearly barricaded themselves behind the last set of blast doors at the end, fighting hard for the final stages. Just as many Death Guard armor plates were mingled with the ivory of the Khan's sons, testament to a resilience that the Chagorians were not necessarily known for. Only one enemy combatant remained alive. All others, the Space Marines, the mortal crew, the servitors, had been slaughtered at their stations, making the bridge reek of copper and charcoal. The lone survivor, the ship's master, was held up by two Death Guard legionaries, his helm ripped off and his long black hair hanging in matted clumps around a mottled red head. Mortarion approached, and the other Death Guard on the bridge retreated, forming a circle around the Primarch and his prey. The shattered bridge equipment continued to crackle sullenly, sending curls of smoke into the vaults above.
"Look at me," Mortarion commanded.
The White Scars legionary lifted his head with difficulty, his eyes struggled to focus.
"You have been caught up in this,"
Mortarion said, drawing close, studying the warrior's wounds. He reached out with a brass-clad finger and traced the line of the scar down his left cheek.
"You fought well, but there are no alternatives now. You were on course to meet your master. Give me the coordinates."
The warrior grinned, exposing a smashed jawline. Then he spat a bloody gobbet into Mortarion's face. Mortarion let the acidic spittle slip down the outside of his rebreather housing.
"Very good,"
he said. He reached down for the casket he had taken from his chambers. It was no larger than his forearm, a little wider, capped with iron at either end. In between, shrouded behind frosted glass, something swam fitfully. As he lifted it higher, black tentacles lashed against the inside of the armor glass, briefly sucking to it before whipping free.
"See, this is a Demjar Falak, a mind eater. It will kill you, but not for many long hours. During that time, it will devour your mind from the inside. For the period you remain conscious, you will scream out anything I ask you. If you knew the secret of the Khan's movements, his allies, his weaknesses, you would tell me it. Is that not a strange thing? Is this not a strange creature? I hunted long for it, for they are rare beyond price now. But I have this one, and be sure that I will use it."
The warrior looked at the canister with contempt.
"Yaksha!"
he rasped.
"Demon? No, not on this occasion. There are monsters in the universe other than those in the warp. But come, there is nothing served with stubbornness. Tell me where your master is, and you may yet die with honor."
The White Scars legionary couldn't take his eyes from the creature that thrashed inside the tube. After a long, agonized pause, he lifted his bloodshot eyes back to Mortarion.
Then I will tell you,
he said, his voice wet with his own blood. Mortarion listened patiently. The warrior grinned.
Over your corpse, laughing!
Mortarion smiled thinly.
I fear he has missed his chance for that.
He indicated to the two Death Guard, and they forced the warrior's arms out at right angles, which pushed his face closer to the stooped Primarch's.
We shall talk much now, but while your mind is still your own, know this. You are beaten. Every battle you fight, you lose. You were built for speed, and this war is the slow grind of long attrition. You bleed for a creator who no longer knows whether you live or die. I gave your master a choice on Prospero, glory or futility. As your mind rips apart, as the agony seeps into your soul, and you hear yourself give me everything I want, remember that. He did this to you.
The legionary closed his eyes and started to mumble some kind of mantra.
Kagan, eran odu kamana jagatai. Tanada talska, eran imperatora. Kagan, eran ordu gamana jagatai.
Mortarion let him babble. He held the glass tube up against the warrior's face and with a single twist broke the seal. There was a flurry of black scales, a snap of skin, a sluice of oil, and the thing leapt for the warrior's head, punching through his closed eyes and wrapping barbed coils around his temples. Mortarion strolled away, discarding the broken canister as the screams started. He briefly looked around him, at the broken bridge, at the twisted ranks of cadavers, at the blood dripping down from the perimeter walkways, and sighed.
Let us begin then, and see how long this takes,
he said, turning back to the struggling legionary, his writhing forehead now lost behind the flex and pulse of neurotoxin glands emptying.
Tell me, where is the Khan?